went down to the river, blowing out onto the sea. On my way to the ocean, let the spirit swallow me. I got low down in the water, I'm just trying to find my way home.
Well, for all of you who are part of the Yorkson campus or you're new to the Walnut Grove campus, my name is Matthew, if we haven't met yet. We're so glad you're with us. I'm just going to take a few minutes to just explain a little bit about baptism and membership. What is that all about? Some of you might be sitting there going, I don't get it. Like, why do you have to go into water? And what is this thing about membership? It doesn't make sense to me. And so I would love to just take a few moments to explain this, and then can't wait to see hopefully most of you or all of you at 4 o'clock at the school this afternoon. But on October 21st, 2012, I was airbanding. You know what that means? Airbanding? Playing rock and roll in the air? I was in the zone. I was listening to some really good music. I was listening to some of my favorite music, but one thing you need to know is that I happened to be about to have a baby in the hospital at that moment. We were in the hospital, and I remember just being in the room there and just kind of in a zone. We had a CD of some of our favorite music, and Tanya was in between contractions. There was a little lull, you know, that lull, that small peaceful moment between crazy contractions. And I was just in the zone. I was airbanding. So Tanya, my wife, exhausted, in labor, looks up at me airbanding and says, "What are you doing? Are you serious right now? Focus on me." And I'm like, okay. See, it had just been the two of us for 7 years. We've been married for 7 years. It had just been the two of us, and we were minutes away from welcoming Lucy, our firstborn, into the world, our first child. And for all of those here who have witnessed the birth of a child, or you've adopted a child, you know that feeling of seeing your child for the first time. It was this burst of fatherly love. I was so overwhelmed when I first saw Lucy. I was 32, and I had never felt that way before. I had a child. Tanya and I had a daughter, October 21st, 2012. John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes to Jesus at night. It's all kind of hush-hush, it's kind of quiet, and they begin this conversation. Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Born of water. Born of water. For those of you who know Jesus, you know he's brilliant. He's the best teacher who has ever lived. And this moment is absolutely deep, profound, and mind-blowing. If you're new to Christianity, check this out. When Jesus says, "born of water," he's doing two things at once. Only Jesus can speak about childbearing and the Exodus in one moment. Only Jesus. Check it out. Childbearing. The child is in the womb, in the dark waters of the womb. The water breaks. The child is born out of the water. The Exodus. In ancient Egypt, God's people were in slavery. Israel was held in slavery by this evil empire. Some of you will know this story. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were trapped in slavery in Egypt. And as they fled Egypt, they were cornered at the Red Sea. Armies of Egyptian soldiers were chasing them, but they were blocked by the sea. And we read in Exodus of the moment that God comes to their rescue. God comes and he parts the waters of the Red Sea so that the people of Israel, hundreds of thousands of them, could walk through the waters on dry ground. Born of water. Born of water. Every time you see a baptism, just so you know, it's rooted in the story of the Exodus. Israel rescued from slavery, from darkness, from violence, from oppression. Israel, born of water, a child of God. God called Israel his child, his son, his child. A child of God rescued out of darkness and slavery. So God says in Hosea, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Baptism. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. You see, Nicodemus, in that hushed moment at night when he approaches Jesus, afraid of who would see him talking to Jesus, he has no idea that he's actually looking into the face of the true son, the true Israel, the great son of God in whom each of us will experience the exodus of God, born of water. It's only in and through Jesus that we have any hope of being born again. In Jesus, the great love of God snatches us up and out of the water of death, of sin, of darkness, and of slavery. Many of us in the room have felt that rescue. You saw it today in these videos, the powerful rescue of God, as though the mighty hand of God, a mighty arm, just comes and just snatches us out of that darkness and sets us free. And you know that there's a pounding love in the chest of the Father as he lifts his children from the depths of the water. That is true with Israel. It is true with every Christian in the past 2,000 years. And it is true of the 10 who will be baptized today. It's a picture of rescue and new life. It's a picture of becoming a child of God through the waters. Rescue. It's what God delights to do with his kids. New life. It's what God delights to do with his kids. For there's a pounding love in the chest of the Father as he lifts his children from the depths of the water. And we're going to watch that happen 10 times today. But notice something. A child becomes part of a family with siblings. Brothers and sisters, never in the Bible is anyone born out of water and into a life of individualism. Never. You don't see that. Ever. Both in Israel and in the New Testament church that we see written in those letters and in the book of Acts, people are born again into a community, into a family. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Rubbish. That's a bad line. We should stop singing that. People are always with you. It is called the church. You never go alone in your faith. Never. That sets you up with some bad expectations of what the Christian life will look like. There's a whole community of people that love you. Today, we as Christians have lost our way here. We think of our Christian life like an ATM. I put in my sinful bank card and God gives me the cash of new life. All by myself. I've got my individual card. It's my individual bank card. An individual transaction that I have the pleasure of enjoying all by my lonesome. But we're children of God, and we fail to look around and acknowledge our need for siblings. I live that way constantly, forgetting that I have a brother, that I have a sister, that I have all kinds of you in my life, that we're a family. And this is the kind of thing we say. So we don't need brothers and sisters because families are complicated. Families are messy. And families hurt each other. And I don't really need that anymore. I don't need that in my life. It's the kind of thing we say to ourselves when Christian community gets messy. And I totally get that. But it means we live isolated Christian lives, lonely Christian lives, never knowing the richness of being children of God with siblings. See, God lifted you out of the water so that you would join a family. His family, committed to a family through thick and thin. This is what membership is all about. It's not like Costco or the gym, your gym membership, your Costco membership. It has nothing to do with this kind of membership. Membership is a way of publicly saying, this here, this group of people, this is my family, and these are my siblings. This is my family. These are my siblings. Sometimes I'm going to get along with them, and sometimes I won't. Sometimes I'll want to hear what my siblings say, and other times I won't. Sometimes my siblings in the family of God will do wonderful things, and other times they won't. But I'll still be there. Membership here in the church is a declaration that this is home, that through thick and thin, this is my family. Membership makes that commitment public. And I'm so excited about those of you earlier in the video, those of you who are making that public commitment today. Thank you and welcome. Thanks for being a part of this family. Membership is a protest to the consumeristic Christianity that says church is all about me. But membership says church is all about we. It's about so much more than just me. It's about the family of God. 3 days ago, I got together for coffee with a sibling, a brother. In great love and respect, he told me things that have frustrated him for several years here at North Langley. We talked, we listened. He's got some brilliant ideas about how to fix some things, how to move forward as a family. At times, it's been hard for him to be here, but he and his family have not left. I'm so grateful for that conversation, so grateful. I learned a lot. I saw things from a new perspective that I hadn't seen before. I need that. He gave me in that moment a picture of what it means to be a family. He did it with such love. So remember your baptism, the moment you joined a family. Remember that moment when you were washed, when you were lifted up out of the waters, when you experienced the power of the Exodus. You see, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us, check this out, through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that again. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Lord. How powerful is that? Yeah. Yeah, the baptized people have been washed. I stepped into the waters of baptism in 1988. When I came up and out of that water, it was just a big wooden box with a plastic sheet in it with a garden hose. And South America, I remember being in Colombia, folding chair, hopping in that cold water. And my pastor, Harold Segura, that was his name, my pastor baptized me. And when I came up and out of that water, I still remember that. When I came up and out of the water, it was a picture of the once and for all washing, yet also what would be the continual washing of Jesus. You have been washed, and you will continue to be washed by Jesus. You have been renewed, and you will continue to be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are not alone. You have alongside you brothers and sisters in the family of God. It is a family to confess to be vulnerable with, to open up your life to enjoy life with, to trust, to pray with, to grow in biblical depth with, to confront at times, to bless, to cherish, to love. Some of you might be interested in knowing what it means to be born again. In one of the testimonies you heard, actually in two of the testimonies, you heard about Alpha. And earlier in the service, you heard a little promo about the Alpha course. But I want to tell you, if you've come here and you're wondering, you're going, you know, I grew up with Christianity when I was little. I knew a little bit about God. It's been years. Some of you would say, I'm really struggling in my faith. I want to take a kind of course that could show me the basics again. And yeah, and if you're brand new, if you're an atheist, if you're agnostic, if you're searching, I'd invite you to come to the Alpha course. It's 8 weeks long. We sit around in circles. We have dinner together. And we explore some of the big questions of life. We talk about Jesus. We talk about why Jesus had to die. Why do Christians talk about the resurrection? What does it mean to be born again? These are the kind of things we talk about, and everyone is welcome. I'd love for you to check it out. It's on our, there's some information in the foyer and then on our website. But if you want to know what it means to be born again, please come. Join us this fall. My wife and I will be there. It's just such a fantastic course. Join us. And also, some of you have been just feeling really lonely in your Christian walk and feeling maybe unconnected in a church like North Langley and feeling like it's a little too big to get connected. And you've been coming on Sunday mornings, and I want to encourage you. Our hope is that you would join small groups, small groups of people who are walking together, learning more about Jesus, loving one another in community. These are spaces and places where you can receive care and as I mentioned, a whole host of things. Sometimes conviction, support, and love. And so they're called life groups. We call them life groups here. Feel free to join a life group this fall. We would love to have you join a small community. Will you stand with me? Today we are coming to the table, to communion, to remember. We come to remember how we've been saved. We come to remember the cross and the empty tomb once again. Once a month, we share this meal together. And for those of you who have given your life to Jesus, as you come forward, there's going to be someone serving you, and they're going to hold a cup, and they're going to hold a basket of bread, and you can just take that bread and dip it in the cup, and remember what Christ has done for you. The Apostle Paul was writing to a church in Corinth, and he says this. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And so that's what we're going to do right now. I would invite you throughout this song. We have stations all over. Just to let you know, there's some stations in the back as well. And so if your lineup looks a little long, feel free to go to a different station. But we're coming to remember his blood that was shed. We're coming to remember the empty tomb as well, that you can have life in his name. And so come and eat and drink. But I end with this. When I first saw Lucy, I was overwhelmed. It was a burst of fatherly love, as I said. I was 32, and I had never known that kind of love before. I had a child. And I believe, here it is, I believe I was invited to experience the smallest fraction of the love of God for his kids. I was feeling the smallest fraction of the love of God for his kids when they're born out of the water. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love is called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. And so I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. When you come today and eat and drink, remember, you are a child of God. For what has God done for you? You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me, and I will stand and sing. I am a child of God. As one big family, a bunch of siblings, let's come together and thank our Father for what he's done for us.